been studying it on Sunday evenings, but I decided to go ahead and do two sermons today and get done with it. Again, I've enjoyed the study myself and the different topics that have been brought up, but I just called it The Sun is Coming. This looks a little different than your bulletin. I left an E off the bulletin. Did anybody see that or whatever? I was about all done with the bulletins, and I saw the E was left off, and I was like, you know what? I'm not redoing the bulletins for an E. So if it bothers you, write it in there with your pen. Okay? Okay? Just go ahead and write in there. Beautiful sunny day. I kind of asked the Lord to give us a sunny day when I preached about the sun is coming. I wanted to see a little bit of sun out here. So, again, the sun is coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, be with us as we study this. We thank you for Malachi as he closes out the Old Testament for us. And Lord, in preparation for the New Testament, where the great things are going to happen as Jesus comes. Lord, we thank you so much for that. But Lord, be with us as we finish out this chapter today, that you would teach us great things. And encourage us is what I ask today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Malachi chapter 4 is where we are. But again, the sun is coming. There's a statement that I heard when I was in Massachusetts. And up in Massachusetts, nor'easters are bigger than they are here. In fact, maybe some of you live here in central Pennsylvania, and really nor'easters is not something that's really in your vocabulary. But if you lived there in Westport, New Bedford, okay, I'm sorry, Tony. If you live in New Bedford, Fall River, okay, nor'easters are big. Okay, because what that means is instead of the wind blowing from the west and coming from the land and then hitting us and then blowing out the sea, a nor'easter means the wind is coming in off of the ocean strong. And when it comes in off the ocean, because it's been picking up all the water in the ocean, when it comes crashing in on the beach, or as it comes crashing in there at where we live or whatever, it's bad. So if you're there in Massachusetts, where we are, right off of Cape Cod, and you hear that a nor'easter is rolling in, you paid attention, okay? But this is what also I heard. I never heard this before, but somebody said, don't get worried about a nor'easter, because the best day of the year is always the day after a nor'easter. And I thought about that, and they said, it's true. And sure enough, one day you are hunkering down, the wind is blowing, I mean, it is just raining, it is just absolutely terrible, and you could almost set your plans by it. It's tomorrow, whatever big plans you have, do them tomorrow, because once the nor'easter rolls in here, the most beautiful weather in the world is the day after a nor'easter, okay? Tony, I think I'm right about that, but you kind of planned on it. Say, oh, a nor'easter's coming in Thursday, Friday, we're going to the beach. Okay, it's going to be the most beautiful day. Okay, hopefully the waves are still up there pretty high when we go in there. But I've just heard that, again, so here's where we are and why I titled it this and why you see this in Malachi chapter 4. Folks, you may be living right now in a nor'easter. I mean, a tragedy happened. Tribulation is here. Things are hard, okay? But I'm telling you, the day after the nor'easter, it's going to be a great day because the sun is coming. Now, I kept S-U-N because that's how it is here in Malachi. But again, as you just kind of think with me, no matter how hard life is, no matter how hard it's going to be, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you know what? That's going to be a great day. Start making your plans. Get ready for it. It's going to be an absolutely wonderful day. Again, one of the things that we have here, and I just want to do this, okay? So it's kind of a theme that's been in Malachi. I know Ken said that they were in Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm in the teen class. Again, and I spoke on it not that long ago. I think the sermon was about it matters where you stand, I think is what I called the sermon. But the coming day of judgment shall bring great fear to all that scoff at God. Okay? Folks, that's just a fact to pack away in your brain. Because it's not personal if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Okay? It's not personal. Okay? Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you better pay attention to that first statement before we got to the comma. The coming of the day of judgment, it's going to bring great fear to all that scoff at God. But notice, it's going to bring what? To those who fear Him. Comfort. It's going to be a great day. It's the day after the nor'easter. It's going to be a day. The sun is coming. Again, if we can do this. The context continues from verses we've already read in Malachi. Go back with me to chapter 2, verse 17, please. Chapter 2, verse 17 of Malachi. Notice, as Malachi is preaching, he says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein or how have we wearied God him?" And this is what he says. "When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" Again, what the people in Malachi's day are saying is, as we look out there, people that are doing wickedness seem to have it real easy, which means God must like them. God must like wicked people, because he sure does treat them nice. And their other question was, so where's this judgment that we hear is coming upon wicked people? Because when we look around, we don't see it. It's still the same question we have today, is it not? Because we write books that are entitled something like this, right? Why do bad things happen to finish it? Good people. Now, there's a book out there by the name of that. Don't buy it, okay? But why do bad things happen to good people? Which, the reverse of it is what? So why do the good things happen to the bad people? Where's this judgment? And again, it's going to come. Go with me now over to chapter 3. Look at verse 13, 14, and 15. You see them on the screen there. Okay? Again, Malachi preaching, coming to these people. "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord." I mean, stout. Again, you say mean things about me, God says. "Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Notice, ye have said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" Walking mournfully means that we've repented of our sins. We've tried to live right. And if we find something in our life that's not right, we repent of it. And we come to you and we ask forgiveness, okay? And so, again, for those that serve God, there's no profit in it. Again, we keep your word, your ordinances. And we repent when we read something that we know we're doing wrong and we try to walk right. And notice 15. "We call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness, they're set up. They're doing really good." Okay? "And even those that test God or delivered, basically tempt God, they're saying, hey, I can do anything I want. God's not going to touch me. I can curse. I can blaspheme. I can do anything I want. God's not going to touch me." There are people out there that just scoff at God, that just tempt him, you know, and you know what? We look at those people and they seem to be doing really well. So we're still on the same idea here, okay? Now, if you were here last Sunday night, I didn't stop reading at verse 16, okay? Because when you start reading verse 16, you find out that those who do serve God, it's going to be really good, folks. It's going to be good. But I want to do it from chapter 4 is what I want to do. We'll do it from chapter 4. Here's what we're looking at, folks. When you go to chapter 4, notice, in verse 1, "The day cometh, it'll burn like an oven. All the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day cometh, it shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Read verse 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up like calves of the stall." Folks, here's what you need to know. There are two types of people in this world, and there are two conclusions that are going to happen. Don't stop short of the end of the book. Did you hear me? Don't stop till you get to the end of the book. Because right now, we might see that those who do wickedly are set up and doing well. And we might look and see those who are serving God and those who, again, practice repentance and try to serve God and do what's right and obey His word, they don't seem to have it so good sometimes in this world. But go to the end of the book. Did you just read the last chapter with me? What in verse 1 is going to happen to the wicked? Boy, it sounds pretty bad, does it not? And what's going to happen to those that fear God? Sounds good. I want to come back to it. I want to go ahead and see what I can do here. I got a couple verses here. Where am I stopping? At the book of John. We'll stop here. There's some verses. Let's go read them, please. So go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Go with me to Psalm, the first Psalm. When you get there, this might be one of those Psalms that as you get there, you go, you know what, Pastor? We memorized this, didn't we, in the past? And I think I still have it memorized. Okay. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorn, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever it doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Folks, do you see two ways? You don't have to be too smart to see it. The first three verses talk about the person who follows God and follows His Word. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice then, you come to the ungodly, they're not so. They'll not stand in the judgment. Folks, do you understand? That doesn't mean they won't appear in the judgment. It's like a boxing match. Folks, if you put yourself in against a really good boxer, you're not going to stand. Does everybody understand that? What's going to happen to you? You're going to get knocked out. And most people I see, when you get knocked out, you go down. So when it says they shall not stand in the judgment, it doesn't mean they won't appear. They're going to appear in the judgment and stand before God. And can I put it this way, in boxing terms? And then they're going to get knocked out. Okay? They're going to the judgment. They're not going to make it through it. And you can see there in the last verse, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Let's keep going to the right in our Bibles and find the book of Daniel. You'll go through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and it won't be too far. You'll run into Ezekiel, and then after that, you should hit the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, look at verse 2. Again, we're looking at the two ways, the two conclusions that happen to the two types of people. It says there in Daniel, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Let's go with me, if you will, over to the book of Matthew now. We're going into the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at the two ways, the two conclusions, the two ends. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. But narrow is the gate, straight is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Life or destruction? Folks, there's two conclusions. Two ways to go. We're staying still in the same chapter. Therefore, over verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Again, you can see here, there's two conclusions, folks. There's a house that stands, there's one that doesn't. We're going over to chapter 25, please. Chapter 25, Matthew 25. I had to read my own writing, how I had it written down there. Matthew chapter 25. Again, Jesus tells a really long parable. It starts over in verse 31. It finally ends in verse 46. I'm not going to read the parable. If you need to read it on your own, you can do so. But let's just go to the conclusion of the parable. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 16, please. Book of Luke, chapter 16. We're talking about two ways, two conclusions, two ends here. Verse 19, Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. When's the last time you used the word sumptuously? I tell people this is probably the only place I ever use it. It's not one of my words, okay? But I know what it means. This guy lived really good, okay? He lived really good. Going on, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I tell people, you can kind of see here, as you look there in this verse, you see his welfare program. He wanted crumbs from a table. You see his health program, wasn't it? Dogs came and did what? Licked his sores. Anybody here got that kind of welfare program and health care program right now? I think we're all doing pretty good compared to this guy, are we not? So that was what took care of him. Notice, it says there in verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art, what's the last word? Tormented. Pretty terrible, is it not? John chapter 5, please. We're looking at two ways, two conclusions. John chapter 5. Again, about judgment. Looking there at John 5, we'll look at verse 25, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Folks, you're getting two ways, two conclusions. Again, go back with me, if you will, please, to Malachi chapter 4. When you come to verses 1 and 2, we have two ways, we have two conclusions. Again, let's go ahead and talk about the first one there. Again, point one I'm going to make is the coming day of judgment shall bring great fear to all that scoff at God. You heard, you know there's a God, you know there's a Bible, you know the Word of God is what God has said, and these people want nothing to do with it. They go their own way, and there is coming a coming day of judgment. I just put some simple points down here. Again, the day is coming with certainty. If you read verse 1, behold, the day cometh. It shall burn like an oven. All the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Again, you can read in verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So I just kind of put in there, okay, if we can just put it this way, verse 1 twice states that the day is coming, and verse 3 says it again. Folks, it's coming. Yet, when you go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, scoffers say what? When? It's not coming. Jesus said he's coming, and it's been over 2,000 years. And he's not here. He's not coming. Can I go back to point A? It's coming. It's going to come. Now, folks, I don't know that if you ever do this. I do it. I look into the future, and I have plans for things I want to do in my life. Lord willing, I have plans I want to do. Some of the plans are pretty big. And as I sit here, it's just kind of neat to say, I'm going to do that. It really is going to happen. I'll pick on a family in the church. Can I pick on a family in the church? It's really going to happen. You're going to Disney. I mean, do you sit here and think, I'm sitting in class trying to understand these algebra problems, right? I'm going to Disney. Okay, now watch. The sun is coming. It'll be a day of judgment for those who scoff at him, but those who fear him is going to be a day of blessing, is it not? It's coming. As we sit in church here, it's coming. There will be a day when it happens, and we're all going to look at each other and say, what? It's here! It's finally here! Okay? What a great day. Folks, it is coming. I don't know if you ever do that and sit and look into the future and say, it's going to happen. Okay? I can't wait. Or it's going to happen. I can wait. But it's coming. I get excited about things like that sometimes. Again, let's go to another point. The day is coming with awful terror for all those that scoff at God. Again, verses 1 and 3, it's the proud, it's those who do wickedly, it's wicked people. Again, it's coming, folks. It's going to be a terrible day. Again, it's going to get them very big time. Something I want to point out to you. A lot of times in the Bible, prophecy, many times, has near fulfillments, far fulfillments. Here is Malachi preaching to the Jews that are living in Jerusalem. Okay? And he says, there's a day coming, and the terror of God is going to fall. Close prophecy. About 400 years from when Malachi is preaching, the judgment's going to fall. The Romans are going to come in, and they are going to basically annihilate the Jews out of the Holy Land and burn everything down. Remember Jesus said they're going to even take every block in the temple and pry it apart? Remember that? Because they burned the place, the gold in the temple melted, ran between the cracks of the rocks. They pried up all those rocks to get the gold out. Not one block is going to sit. Again, close prophecy for the Jews in about 400 years, a terrible day of judgment is coming because you people won't do right. You do wicked. And the Romans came in and it was the day of prophecy. Now watch this. Today, if you go to Jerusalem, those people that the Romans killed, they burned them up. And as you walk on Jerusalem today, you are walking on their ashes. Do you realize that? Read some verses with me. Did you read them there? Okay, verse 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I will do this. Everybody who's walking in Jerusalem today, down in the ruins, is ashes of Jews that the Romans cremated. They burned them up. And so people say, well, is the Bible true? Absolutely. I have no idea how you get those ashes out of there once they burn all of them up. They're still there today. And those people got burned up. Now, I do know this. I tried to do work real quick, kind of ran out of time. I did the best I could. But I do know this. When the Romans came in, I've been taught this by many different professors and people have said it before. But when the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem, can I tell you something? The Christians were gone. The Christians had left Jerusalem by the time the Romans came in. You know what? Jesus said, you know, you see signs of times? Get out. Get out. The Christians got out. So when this fearful day of terror came from God upon Jerusalem, the Christians weren't part of it. They were gone. And yet the Romans came in and destroyed the proud, those that do wickedly, and the wicked. They burned them up. And today, as people walk on Jerusalem, you are walking on their ashes. They're down in there. God's word is true. Now watch this, folks. That's the close prophecy. What's the further prophecy? Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, he's coming in fiery indignation for those that scoff at him. What's going to happen to those people? Burned up again. Burned up again. It's coming. Now, can I tell you something? It's not going to hit the Christians, folks. He's going to deliver us from that one. It's not going to hit us, okay? But it's going to happen again. So the close one was Jerusalem, 70 AD. The far one, anybody want to give a date? We don't know the date yet. And that's why scoffers say in 2 Peter, wow, he's not coming. Yeah, he is. We just don't know when. But someday he's going to come. Again, I just put something up here, just so you don't get this. When it talks there about burning them up as ashes, and again, at the end of verse 1, it says, there will be neither root nor branch. This is not basically their souls, their spirits being annihilated. Again, this is talking about bodies. This is a physical punishment. Basically, when this comes, they're going to be gone. They're going to be destroyed. Again, that word there, that word at the end of verse 1, if you want to write it in your notes or whatever, when it says there that there will be neither root nor branch. Neither root nor branch. No, folks, there are a lot of things that if you cut them down and you don't get the root, what happens? They come back. Hey, you got time before you leave church? Take a little walk if you're not on the right side of the church. There's a tree right here outside the kitchen door. It was this spiny thing that was up in the air and kind of coming over the roof. And, you know, Mel would have to go up and cut it off the roof because it would tear up the shingles and all that. And so we went over there and we cut that thing off. What did we leave? The stump about that high? Folks, I looked at that tree the other night and went, that tree's beautiful. Has anybody seen it lately? It's beautiful. That tiny thing that was all over the place. And we're like, we don't need this tree around here. Vroomp. Don't cut that tree down now. It's beautiful. No, we'll have to cut it down someday soon. But look what happened. We left something in the ground and what? Whoop. And it's not this little spiny thing that it used to be. It's now a pretty, it's formed pretty nice. It's looking really good. Mel, you've been trimming it or it just grew like it? It's looking good because we didn't get it all out of the ground. What's the one for Cynthia? Folks, if you ever plant forsythia in your yard, it's impossible to get rid of it. Right? You cut it back and it keeps coming. Okay? So if you kill forsythia, tell me how you did. No. But I'm just saying, you leave something, it comes back. And Jesus is saying, Malachi is saying through God, look, when it comes, there will be no root, no branch. It's over. Okay? This is a nihilism, basically, of family or of, you know, physical inheritance, people living on the earth. This is not a nihilism as in you just burned up and you don't go to hell. That's not it. Okay? Bodies that Jesus gives after the resurrection last forever, whether heaven or what? Hell. So it's not a nihilism, just so you understand that. And again, I thought I'd put this one in here too, a universalism. There are people that just seem to preach that somewhere everybody's finally going to get saved and we're all going to end up in heaven. Folks, no. No. There's not going to be any fun for those that reject God. When the terrible day of judgment comes, there's not going to be any fun. Again, I kind of try to put this, universalists make the mistake of putting God's love above his justice and holiness. Has everybody got me on that? Well, God's love will finally take over and he'll just set aside his judgments and his justice and his holiness and he'll let them all come into heaven. Really? I don't find that in the Bible. Okay, and I'm not preaching on this, just giving you the thought that right here, people are not going to be destroyed as in there's nothing left of them. They will live forever in a place that is godless and torment. And again, they'll never get out of there. That's why I mentioned universalism, because people think, well, they'll start in hell and then they'll all get out. Not going to happen, folks. Not going to happen. Now, I guess what I really need to do is stop here just for a second. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Because if you don't, your eternity is going to be absolutely horrible. Now, we just talked about bodies here being done, but again, fear not him that can destroy the body. Who do you fear? Fear him that can destroy the body and the soul and throw it where? In hell. Didn't Jesus say that? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your future is what we're just talking about. It's going to be absolutely terrible. A place of torment. We read that in Luke chapter 16. It's going to be a place of fire. It's just going to be absolutely terrible. Don't go out of this church without knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. Don't do it. I look around. I don't know. Unless you're hiding on me, I don't see anybody who's never heard me preach before. Y'all have. You know the way to heaven. You've heard the gospel of grace. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Otherwise, when the sun comes, you're not going to be want to see him. You're not going to want to see him. Let's go on to point two. I think I got the coming day of judgment should bring great comfort to all that fear God. Okay. Did you read there verse 2? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow like calves of the stall. And again, you say, well, why did you put verse 3? That's a bad verse. Well, no. In the first part of verse 3, it says what? We're going to tread down the wicked, which means what? We'll be standing. Remember we read in Psalm 1 that the wicked people won't stand in the judgment? Folks, in order to be standing, be treading things down, you're standing. We're going to make it through. Okay? We're going to be fine. Again, the coming day of judgment should bring great comfort to all that fear God. Again, I just kind of put this purpose of these verses is to comfort the Lord's people, especially those who are being persecuted because of their stand for God. Folks, I don't know where America's headed. I don't know what's going on, okay? I see things on TV. I try to watch news. I try to be up on what's going on. Oh, man. My. I mean, poor Dr. Carson. comes out as a Christian. Has anybody seen the words and that are leveled at him right now? Oh, my. Now, all I got to say is, if we let non-Christian people have their way, we're dead. Did you hear me? We're dead. They don't want us around. And it bothers them that he's a Christian. It really does. I just can't even believe. I mean, most of the things that these people say and write, is it just not bleeped out on the screen? Who's watched this stuff with me this week? Anybody watch it? It's all bleeped out. Wow. Okay. Whether journalists or Hollywood actors. Okay. Folks, if you're going through some tough times, and it may get tough, the sun's coming. Oh, the nor'easter may be here, and it's been forecasted. But what's the best part of it, folks? When the nor'easter blows out and it's done, the next day is absolutely amazing. The sun is coming. I just kind of put this out here. I hope you know this. If we fear God now, we do not need to fear His judgment on that terrible day. Was it last Sunday night? I did a lot of sermons last week, so I was thinking, I hope I get them all straight. But I think last Sunday night I talked about fearing God, and I gave it to you in 2 points. Okay? Just a new twist to it. But I fear God. Basically what it is, I'm afraid to do something that'll hurt Him. That's fear of God. I'm afraid. I don't want to do something that hurts the cause of Christ. I fear that possibly my actions, my words, something that I'll do, will hurt the cause of Christ and Christianity, the faith. And I don't want that to happen. Are you with me on that? I don't want to. So I fear that. But the second point is what? I'm afraid that God could hurt me. I'm afraid He could hurt me. Could He? Absolutely. All right, now, I know that when He hurts me, and I'll use those words, Hebrews chapter 12, He does it as a loving father who needs to discipline. Am I right about that? But I don't want Him to punish me. And He can, and I know He can. And I fear that. So again, when we fear God now, that means we know that He can punish us, so we are afraid to hurt the cause, and we want to do what's right. Then when He comes, we don't have to be afraid in that day. Okay? I've thought about this, and I know all the preaching I've heard, a lot of it says that the rapture is going to take place really, 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 really quick. Anybody with me on that? I was doing my own thinking, and I'd like to have a little bit of a warning that it's happening, or you know what I'm saying? Is anybody with me? Just, you know, I'd like to be in a cemetery and see a body go out and go, here it comes. I mean, that might be all I'm going to get. Okay, that's biblical, isn't it? Okay, I don't know. I always told somebody, wouldn't you like, now, not maybe yours, not mine, but wouldn't you like to be in a cemetery during a committal service, and all of a sudden the casket opens up, and whoever did it said, hey, I'm heading, you know, I'm going, and the dead shall what? Okay, now when it says that we shall not prevent, the word prevent is an old, old, old English word. And prevent used to mean to come before. You know, there is something in theology, preventative grace. Preventative grace is the grace that God sends before your salvation to get you saved. Okay? Look it up. Okay? It's preventative grace. Oh, well, why would God prevent me from having grace? No, it's an old word, which means it's the grace that comes first. Okay? So when you read there that we will not prevent them that are asleep, which means what? We're not going first. They are. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So I've always thought, I'd like to just have a little bit of a warning. It's about ready to go. Now, here's my question. As soon as you see, I got a little bit of a warning. Is it going to be, oh my, oh wow. Here we go. Okay? I don't know. But I do know there's other verses. Because if somebody says to me, Pastor, do you know? I know the Bible. Because it says over in 1 Corinthians 15, what's it say? In the twinkling of an eye, which means I might not have any time. Now, I preach it this way. If you're not saved and you think you can get saved because you're going to get some warning, there's not enough time. But maybe those of us saved, we're going to get a little bit of a warning. And I'm going to go, oh, here we go. I'm going to start jumping. What about you, okay? All right? Just so you understand, we don't need to be afraid. It's not an oh my day. It's a here we go day. Amen day. We don't have to fear His judgment. Again, God causes the Son of Righteousness to rise with healing in His wings for all that fear Him. Again, the Son of Righteousness is coming. Again, you can see that in verse 2. I'm spelling it the right way. S-U-N is how it is. If you want to spell it S-O-N. Did Charles Wesley write Hark the Herald Angels Sing? He did, didn't he? Okay, I know something none of you know. Now you're going to, now, look, somebody's going to look it up and say, no, I'm going to prove him wrong. Okay? Again, the Son of Right, with healing in His wings. Oh, would that be great? I mean, I am so glad that when Jesus shows up, basically one of the first things He's going to do is He's going to take care of our bodies, heal them, and fit them for heaven. This mortality shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on what? Incorruption. He's coming with healing in His wings to fix the problems with this old body. It's getting sore. It's wearing out. It's not what it used to be. Not that it was anything good to begin with, but it's starting to wear out, and it gets hurts and aches and pains that just didn't used to show up. Anybody with me on that? I don't know what happened, but on Friday, I decided to take a nice little run. On Saturday, I'm like, wow, that hurts. Okay? I hurt on Saturday morning. I was like, wow, that's not, I guess I've been riding bike too much and not running. It hurt to get out of bed on Saturday morning. Okay? Wow, I'm getting old. I need some healing in the wings here. Hey, I was at school the other day, the soccer team. I think everybody's limping around that school, are they not? We need some healing in the wings. Come on. We need all the people that are, I saw two kids on crutches. I saw people with braces. We need some healing in the wings, do we not? God is going to bring healing to us. That's what He needs to bring. And notice, I love this. At the end of verse 2, do you know what this means? Ye shall go forth and grow up like calves of the stall. Folks, I just got it this way. A calf of the stall. You ready? When you have a little calf, being out in the weather could be really hard on them. So where do we keep them to keep them protected? Inside. And the best place for that little calf to grow when there's a nor'easter out there blowing is get them in. Don't leave them out in the weather. They could hurt them. It could kill them. Get the little calves in. So again, yeah, there's storms blowing, but you know, God kind of takes us and He keeps us in His hands. I mean, we talk about Psalm 91. We're a refuge. A shelter in the what? Time of storm. We're like calves in the storm, but you know what? We're protected in the stall. But there's coming a day when He's going to open that stall door. You ever seen an animal that's been caged for a little while? What's it do? Man, it's out. I mean, it's out, okay? I've seen kids act that way, okay? Don't stand in the way of kids when they're heading for recess, okay? You keep them stalled, then they burst out. And folks, I tell people, that's what it means. We're going to be like calves of the stall. Yeah, God's protected us. He's kept us there. But all of a sudden, we are going to be free. And man, it's going to be wonderful. Here we go. We're free. Wow. Okay? That's what it means, calves of the stall. He's coming. Healing in His wings. He's going to release us. Can't wait. I just got one more screen. I think it is, unless I got something else on here. I forgot about it. The Son of Righteousness brings light where there was darkness. Okay? When the sun comes, folks, light where there's darkness. Are you living in a dark time? Are you going through a dark time? Was it Isaiah 43? Treasures of the darkness. Did I not read that this week? I did in my devotions. Treasures of the darkness. You know what? Even through the darkness, God gives us treasure. Fanny Crosby said what? He giveth me songs in the night. You know what? But there won't be any more darkness. Because when He comes, I learned about heaven. There's not going to be what? No more darkness. And there's no sun or moon or stars. But God's the light of the place. When the Son of Righteousness come, there's going to be light where there was darkness. There's going to be healing where there was disease and brokenness. Disease and brokenness. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, there's a lot of diseases we have today I didn't even know existed. And they didn't exist back then. They did. We just didn't know what to call them. Back then, when people died, we just called it what? Old age. Now today, we know what they're dying from. And we're fixing it for the main part. We're fixing some of it. But He's going to come and heal. Again, He's going to bring comfort and hope where there had been despair. You know what? There are people in this world just living in despair. No hope. No hope. But if you know Jesus Christ, there's never a place so dark and so bad that there isn't hope. And He's going to bring comfort when He comes. Granted, He's going to bring joy where there's sadness. He's going to bring joy where there's sadness. I don't know about you, but I know that my wife and I talk about it. I think one of the things about this heaven that's going to be the best is the singing. The singing. And folks, can I tell you something? We are going to have something to sing about. I mean, we are going to sing. And I think it's because of the joy that comes where once we knew only sadness. He's going to bring joy and we're going to sing like it's unbelievable. And again, I like this. God's justice. When Jesus comes, he's going to bring right where there was wrong. The wicked aren't going to be in control anymore. They're not going to make the rules. They're not going to hurt us anymore. They're not going to say mean things about us anymore. Where there was wrong, he's going to bring right. Folks, Jesus is coming. Are you ready for the day? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? If you are, and living through some dark times, I got something for you. It's going to get really good. It's going to get really good. Father, I pray that you might help us to realize that the Son is coming. And Lord, when he comes, as we saw him come back in 70 AD, the wicked were destroyed, and people still to this day are treading upon their ashes. When he comes the second time, he's going to come with fire indignation for those who know not him. And Lord, I pray that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, so that when he comes, Lord, it'll be a day of light. It'll be a day of joy and comfort, healing. It'll be a day of right. Lord, I pray that you might help each one in here to know they know Christ as their Savior. But now give us songs in the night. Give us treasures in the dark. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes open, because the blessed hope is showing up someday. And Lord, we can't wait for that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.